welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Pastor Joel Sickler, and I trust that you'll be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
Today we're celebrating a milestone. The Lebanon God's Missionary Church has reached into our community and preached the gospel and the doctrine of holiness for over 75 years. Back in March of 1949, Reverend Truman Wise was a minister at a convention held at the Gospel Tabernacle in Mount Etna. At the close of the convention, Reverend George Straub met with a small group that was interested in establishing a church for their families in this area. 13 people joined the God's Missionary Church and were the founding members who formed the local church. Land was then purchased on Hill Street and a 34 by 50 foot church building was constructed. A few of our church members still remember the building of the original church up on Hill Street. Reverend Mildred Yoder was a pastor for the first years of the church and later attended the church until her death. Reverend Dean Confer would serve as the next pastor from 1956 to 1958, followed by Reverend Marlon Kroc from 1958 to 1963. Then, Reverend Truman Wise, who had been instrumental in having the church planted here in Lebanon, was called and pastored from 1963 to 1971. Then, Reverend Melvin Evans would serve a term as pastor from 1971 to 1977. In 1977, Reverend Barry Arnold came to pastor and served for 35 years. Those of you that regularly listen to this program know that Brother Arnold passed away in July of this year. In the month of August, we re-aired a couple of messages that he preached on this program. Reverend Barry Arnold pastored the church the longest, and in those 35 years, the church grew in numbers and outreach till the church had maxed out the capacity of the original church building. And so, they began building a new church sanctuary. In September of 1991, the present sanctuary was dedicated, and then a few years later, a large addition was added with Sunday school classrooms as well as our Family Life Center. Pastor Arnold retired in 2012, and Pastor Alan Walter has served as senior pastor until just recently. We're planning to install Reverend Curtis Going as senior pastor this afternoon, and we're praying that God will continue to lead and bless the church family of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. God has been so very good to us. He's been faithful. He's led and guided over these past 75 years, and we look forward to what God has for the future.
Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. No other way to tell you but to say God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay and I can see I've cried some bitter tears, but I've felt His arms around me as I've faced my greatest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt as His grace rolled down upon me. Undeserved, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is, but the best way I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good.
He's been good.
God's been good.
Lord, we thank You for all You've done. Thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness. Thank You for Your provision. Thank You, Lord, for Your power that's kept and helped and moved among us. Your presence is felt in our services, and we're so thankful, Lord, that You're a God who speaks to us and walks with us on this journey of life. Lord, You know the one that's listening even now, the cares and concerns that are on their heart. I pray that You would meet with them. Help them to seek after You and find You to be Lord and Savior and just their helper and keeper in this life. For this program, we ask Your blessing and Your guidance throughout the rest of this day. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. This program is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, I invite you to join us each Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock p.m. for an evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. We've enjoyed the ministry of Reverend Andy Cooley and the Mason family this weekend, and I invite you to join us for our closing revival service this morning at 10:30. Then, this afternoon at 2:30, there will be a special time of memories and sharing, and we want you to be there to hear some of what God has done. Also, again, the installation service for Reverend Curtis Going will take place in this service. We give God praise for His blessing and work among us. Now, I hope that you'll be able to join us in person for our services, but if not, you can always go to LebanonGMC.com, where you can watch live broadcasts of our services, find out about upcoming events, and even share prayer requests with us. That's LebanonGMC.com.
that longing in your soul. You may search the wide world o'er, but you'll be just as before. You'll never find true satisfaction until you've found the Lord. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul. And make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy and heaven too. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul. And fortune, all the wealth you could obtain, yet you have not Christ within. Your living here would be in vain. There'll come a time when death shall come. And make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy and heaven too. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul.
My message today is titled, Depart Not from His Presence. For our scripture, let's look at Exodus chapter 33. We'll break in at verse number 8. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up from hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. What a beautiful picture of the desire of Moses and Joshua to be in the presence of God. I think it's a neat insight into what is happening this day. While Moses was the focus of attention and the visible presence of God is tearing at the tent door, Joshua is right there observing what is happening. This younger man has a front row seat of the life of Moses and the presence of God. Joshua is the servant of Moses, but in this instance, it seems that his servanthood to Moses is forgotten, for the presence of God is upon the place, and Joshua is just overcome with this presence of God. Now, to be honest, Israel is in trouble, deep trouble. In chapter 32, if you go back, we can read of what had happened. While Moses was up on Mount Sinai receiving the law of God, the people were getting restless and doubting God. They had asked Aaron to create a god for them to worship. Now remember that when Israel was leaving the land of Egypt, they were given many gifts of precious jewels and metals. Some of the ancient Jewish commentators were of the opinion that the people had inscribed the name Jehovah on much of their jewelry and wore this jewelry almost as a good luck charm to ensure divine protection. It seemed to be a way for them to identify as the people of God. But when Moses is up on the mountain for a couple days, there's a number who are ready to sacrifice their jewelry for a God that they can see. Using their golden earrings and other items, a golden calf is formed and declared to be the God that brought them out of Egypt. The people are worshiping the calf when Moses returns to the camp. Really, what a mockery to the God of heaven, whose power they had seen in miracles and signs and wonders that no other power could perform. But the attitude of the people changes back to one of repentance and remorse over their sin. They have come to realize that they're helpless without the presence of God in their midst. Even the promise of an angel to escort them into the promised land is not enough. There's a real desire in the camp that God would not just send an angel before them, but they desire that God himself would once again dwell in the midst of the camp. The people here are in mourning, and changes are happening in the camp. Moses takes the tabernacle. No, not the tabernacle tent that would be made later, but probably just a tent that Moses used as a court, where God frequently met with his servants. Moses moves this tent a considerable distance from the camp. Really, it's a visible sign that God refuses to dwell any longer in the midst of this rebellious people. But can you hear it? It's like a whisper goes through the camp. Moses is headed toward the tabernacle. Moses is going to the tabernacle. Old men struggle to their feet and squint to see. Young children grow silent as Moses walks by. The young mother steps out of her tent to see what's going on, as the camp seems to take a deep breath as they watch Moses walk out of the camp and into the tent of tabernacle. Then it happens. A pillar of cloud, almost like a small whirlwind, comes down and stays right there at the door of the tent as Jehovah, the living God, talks with Moses. All eyes are on the tabernacle and the pillar of cloud. Tears trickle down a wrinkled old face as a broken voice says, Jehovah has returned. There is yet hope for Israel. Across the camp, the name Jehovah can be heard as the people praise the Lord and worship the God who needs no man to make an image to prove that he exists. God in mercy has returned, no, not to the center of the camp, but to see the visible sign of his presence brings great hope to the camp. God here speaks directly to Moses. This isn't a vision. It's not a dream or inner inspirations. But God talks to Moses just as a man speaking to a friend. Moses is the intercessor for the people. And I can imagine Joshua hanging on to every word that is spoken at this meeting. Joshua had been able to accompany Moses to a certain point up onto the mountain since he was acting as Moses' servant. It seems that Moses had conferred with him during the 40 days. Perhaps he had even helped serve as a scribe to help record the words of God that were spoken to Moses. Here we see Moses boldly interceding with God for this nation, reminding God that it was God who had sent Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. Moses wasn't about to begin leading these people on his own if God will not go with them. Moses doesn't want to go any further. Imagine being there and hearing God say, "I will do as you ask, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." Then, just like he's talking to a good friend, Moses blurts out, "Please, show me your glory." Moses has had the privilege to communicate with God in a very personal and close manner, unlike any other person. He's just spent a good while with the Lord as God gave him the commandments. But still, he desires to know God better. God is not put off by this request and denies only that which Moses cannot bear. For no man can look directly into the face of God and live. God comes up with a plan to show Moses all that he can withstand. He will make all of his goodness pass before Moses, proclaim the name of the Lord before him, showing grace and mercy upon men. God even has a place picked out for Moses to stand when his glory passes by, where he will cover Moses with his hand and allow Moses to see his back. A great privilege indeed. If you remember, even this guarded view of the glory of God causes Moses' face and his skin to just shine with the presence of God. Perhaps this morning you're wondering, "So, Pastor Joel, what are you getting at?" Well, simply this. My friend, I desire to see the glory of God in our midst. Just as the Israelites could not and would not go on, led simply by an angel or a messenger from God, we cannot be satisfied to live without the presence and power of God in our midst. My friend, this morning in this program, I'm calling upon you to ask of God, like Moses, "Show me thy glory." For the sake of this generation, for the sake of your family, your neighbors, your friends, we must be seeking after the glory of God. If we want the younger generation to catch on to this, we must behold his glory. And like Joshua, spend time in his presence. As I read over the scripture some time ago, the thought gripped me that we need more Joshuas. But the realization has come that what we really need is more men and women like Moses, accustomed to the place of prayer, with their ears tuned to hear God's voice, walking in the light that God shines on their path, hungry for more of the glory of God. If you think about it, Joshua benefited from Moses' relationship with God. And so I believe, even today, there are young people whose hunger and thirst after the glory of God is influenced by the hunger and thirst they see in the lives of their elders, of the saints of God. My friend, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're a follower of him, I ask you to let your light shine with the glory of God. Be daily in the presence of God. Seek after him. Be obedient to his voice. Be like Joshua. When God's presence is in the tent, don't be quick to move, but allow God to speak to your heart and develop a hunger and thirst after him. God was able to use men like Moses and Joshua, not because they had it all together, but because they desired to know God, and they fully trusted in him.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this old world affords today.
Our time for this program is quickly coming to a close, but if you have a question about how to be saved or a spiritual matter, we would love to talk with you and share Jesus with you in person. You can stop by today during regular service time at 10:30 this morning, or you can call our church office and set up an appointment. The number to call is 717-273-3690, or you can send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. We'd be delighted to help you in any way that we can. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you a very blessed week.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of his Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone.